Interesting. I presume at any rate, they pretty much, again, preview the regulations and make certain that the standards and the procedures and all that type of stuff are ones that they want. But do you find any complaints against the regulatory regimen and the various licensures?
Through the chair, when there is a board, we have 35 programs. 20 of them have boards, 15 we run on our own and make all the licensing decisions without the benefit of boards. When there are boards, it is the board itself that has the regulation writing and adoption authority. The department just has a ministerial role. And so there, it's always what the board wanted because they wrote it, except sometimes the AG's office says no. But I suspect that in every profession there are people out there who don't agree with all of the regulations the way they are written. There are 35,000 licensees. In general, our statutes are very specific, meaning compared to something like the Department of Health and Social Services, where they might have something saying you can adopt regulations to promote the health and welfare of the citizenry of Alaska, and they can set up whole programs like AFDC through their reg authority. With ours, if you look at them, almost always the legislature has been very specific about exactly what exams people have to pass, exactly what kind of education they need. So there really isn't too much leeway to decide there'll be new requirements to be a real estate agent, for example. Mm-hmm. So we don't have the opportunity to perhaps go way overboard and overstep legislative intent the way you might be able to in another area. But I'm sure that there are people who don't believe credentialing statute requirements or the regs that go with them are right for different programs, who think that the wrong amount of education is being required, all of this type of thing. And in general, if there is a frustration with the system, I must say it's probably that people believe our investigations and disciplinary actions are too slow. Not enough disciplinary action.
Because you don't have enough people?
Well, of course. What bureaucrat would not say yes to that question? But we do.
It seems to me like you can draw your own revenues. I mean, we've given you carte blanche authority to go ahead and increase the, you know, in most cases.
Well, Representative, through the chair, although it's true that the department could choose to raise fees and generate $10 million, the check on us is that you all, through the budget, set our expenditure authority. So if you say I can spend five, there's no good reason for me to collect 10. It just sits in the bank, as it were, if you let me roll it forward. So that's where the check is. In this year's budget, governor's budget, a new medical investigator has been requested, for example. And I'm crossing my fingers that that will come through because we have about 140 open complaints at any one time. We receive between 500 and 600 new complaints every year for all of our licensees. So there are two things that seem to be slowing it up. One is, of course, investigations. The other is attorney general time, because most people, it's evolved into a process where most people who are accused of things have attorneys representing them, and it becomes a full-blown legal process, not like what was envisioned years ago, which would be a board sitting down, the person coming in telling their story, maybe the unhappy consumer telling their story and then working it out. Now we have a trial going on, and therefore the Attorney General's office is only able to handle a small percentage of what we can push their direction.
Thank you, Ms. Reardon.
Yes. Sorry, took my chance there.
Thank you for the leeway.
All right. Yeah, anytime Representative Hudson, except our committee aide had a hair appointment. So to go see her hairdresser and cosmetologist, right, yeah. Ms. Reardon, could you provide the committee with the numbers of complaint by boards and the number of license revocation actions, if you have particularly as it relates to all the boards and commissions we have before the committee this year,
mm-hmm.
and if unless you have them all, it's maybe on one printout.
Yeah.
That might be more appropriate.
Yes, in fact, we have something in the annual report that might satisfy.
Okay, pull that out. Then also, Walker was mentioning the numbers of the various barbers, hairdressers, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that particular breakdown. If you could provide the committee with mm-hmm. that. because we're not going to move that bill today until we have more feedback from the Senate on that one. So, the with that,
Mr. Chairman, could we also get them to? I mean, we already have a sort of a budget breakdown. How much of the total collection goes to the citizen board members' activity at board meetings and things like that, and how much is in the actual overhead? The total cost of per diem and et cetera. Not necessarily by board. I just want a general idea.
Sure.
If you collect $6 million, about how much of that goes in, say, the meeting of the board and that type of stuff, and how much of it is in the, the
licensing.
The licensing side, yes.
Certainly. I can do that.
Good. Anything else? Pretty good.
If I could mention one small issue, which I'll deal with in the Senate and then perhaps come to you. When it came to the issue of disciplinary action, in the barbers and hairdressers statute, there is very little language about grounds for disciplining any licensee. We have this whole structure and very little enforcement capability for incompetence. So, in fact, what it says is that the board may suspend or revoke a license or another type of permit for failure to comply with the chapter, but then the chapter just requires licensing. So I would propose that we add or incompetent or unsafe practice. Because, for example, when someone comes, which doesn't happen often, but says I was burned by some, chemical or something, you look and say, well, what part of the chapter did it say be safe? And legally it starts crumbling in front of you. And so if we're going to license 3,000 people and have this whole setup, I think it might be a good time to just...
Well, Mr. Redden, I actually, having been spending a lot of time in Chapter 8 lately, I'm finding that I'm a little bit disturbed because some of the penalty provisions for revocations and and also board memberships and removal of boards, there's a lot of inconsistencies. I mean, there's certain sections in the front part of the chapter there that provide for some of these general things that could apply to almost all of the boards and commissions. And then you start going through the various different boards and commissions, and some have almost what I consider redundant provisions and or ones that are at variance, when perhaps you could make an argument they wouldn't need to be, when they could refer to a section in the front of the chapter, kind of a universal thing. I mean, it looks like the chapter could use some overhaul.
Mr. Chair,
it might simplify all the...
Because the way that the chapter or the Title VIII has developed, with each occupation coming with its own bill over 20, 30 years, there are a great number of inconsistencies within it. Funny thing, you mentioned this, because I do have a draft omnibus occupational licensing bill, which we have all drafted up, looking for a sponsor. And I know that you've sponsored a great number of occupational licensing bills this year, but and so I'm not, as much as I would love it if you had sponsored, I'm not really putting that on you right now. And that bill provides, I'd say, a 50% cleanup. We could go through the entire thing and remove all of that, and it would be, 150-page bill, and I figured it would sink like a stone. So we picked out half of the things we might want to clarify and fix up, and to plug loopholes, help with enforcement, because there are a lot of little enforcement loopholes you can drop through. And I do have it, and I am peddling it. So anyone who is interested in occupational licensing,
the governor introduced it. No peddling allowed. Any more labor and commerce bills. We've had our fill.
Mr. Chairman.
The stealth governor bills, there's not going to be any more of those. Yes, Mr. Representative Hudson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say that I believe, of all the testimony that I've heard in the administration, that this young lady is the most forthcoming, honest, and easy to work with that I've run into, and I really appreciate
it. Very nice of you.
I mean, I will say, she's not without some contribution.
That doesn't mean we're not going to cut your budget, but I'm
thank you very much. That's nice.
Right, yeah.
I'll live up to that vote of confidence.
He's adjourned at 5:05.